Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord. It's been a while since I've been up anywhere near this place. But the Lord has reasons for seasons, doesn't he? And I just praise him today for his goodness, for his faithfulness. I appreciate everyone's prayers during this time of unusual weakness. But, you know, we need to go through seasons, don't we? God has his purpose and his reason for everything. And so I'm just going to trust him today. Because that's a good thing every day, isn't it? We can't do anything without him. I've had thoughts that have occurred to me throughout this entire time of weakness, and question in my mind: how in the world do you deal with this? What's the central thing? Do you make a bunch of messages out of it, or do you just go for it? And I'm just going to start and trust the Lord and see how far we go. But I guess if I had to put one title, it's a difficult thing to title, but I would say perhaps this: the meaning of everything. Now, you know, human beings are such that we like to figure out why does this universe even exist? Why do we exist? What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? You know, what am I supposed to do with my life? What kind of meaning is there beyond it? Or is it just meaningless and I just do what I want and then die? And obviously, I believe, as those who understand in a measure the Word of God, there is a God and he has a purpose. And if we're going to order our lives aright and effectively in this world, we need to know about that. We've sung an awful lot about it this morning. It certainly confirmed many things that I'd thought about. But I thought about some scripture, and I'll set it up a little bit by going through a little bit of the beginning of the book of Hebrews. As we've often pointed out, Hebrews was written by someone we do not know for sure, but obviously a gifted teacher of the things of God. It was written to Jews who had grown up with the religion that had evolved out of the things that happened in the Old Testament. Moses' law and the prophets, all of that had evolved into a religion. And it was far from the Lord. But anyway, God wanted to make plain to these people to whom this man was writing what God's purpose in all of that was. That was not the end product. That was simply God doing something to set up his eternal purpose, the meaning of everything. What is this entire world about? And so we read that, I'll go ahead and just read a little bit of it and then try to summarize and hit the high points. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so part of the point of the writer here is to show that whereas angels were involved in what they had in the Old Testament, we serve one who is greater than the angels. We serve the Son of God, and he's greater than any angel that has ever been. And he goes on to say in verse 5, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'?" And anyway, he goes on about the angels, but I want to kind of cherry pick here a little bit to get to the main thoughts. About the Son, verse 8, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions." That's an interesting thought there. That kind of is what drew me to all of this in the first place. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. All right, just kind of park that back in your mind somewhere. All right? And he also says this in verse 10, in the beginning, Lord, you, speaking of Christ, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. All right, the one we're serving is the one who brought all that into being. All right? They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. What a picture that is. You know, suppose you get to the point where you've worn some clothes and they're worn out, and it's time to change your clothes, and not only change them, throw out the others and be done with it. That's the picture of this world. Okay? It is, as we've said many times, temporary. There is nothing here that will remain. Jesus said, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. All right, so what in the world is the meaning of this existence? Why do we even have this if it's so temporary? God must have a reason. Okay? Well, let's go forward. And he gives the warning early in chapter 2 because the concern is that there were a lot of people who had a kind of superficial attachment to God. They believed in Christ up to a point, but it had never really penetrated their hearts. And so the question was, you know, have you really entered in, or are you just kind of, you know, gone along with? My God, we better be all in. Because this is God, this is the whole reason for this world to be here. And if you're living for any other reason, you're wasting your time. What did Jesus say? What profit will it be if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? Then what's it worth? I mean, you're trading everything for what you can get here is what it boils down to. My God, there's not a thing in this world that is worth hanging on to if it means losing that. This world is something to die to renounce. The system, didn't we hear about that last week? It was put in terms of Egypt. And obviously for those who have never left Egypt and never really, and it's in their hearts, my God, you got a need. I pray that God in his love and mercy will reach out. Same God we sang about in such tender terms this morning reaches out to everybody. He doesn't get any joy about people who die and lose everything. But yet, obviously, this world affects Christians too. And hence the message we heard, it's an important one. But God has got a reason why we're here, though. That's the thing. If he's just building a family, why don't we say sign on the dotted line and boom, he takes us out of here? There's a reason why this world exists, even though it is a temporary one, okay? Now, he comes down after warning people about stopping short and not taking seriously this message. Verse 5 of chapter 2, it is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? We've already talked about this world being like an old garment you're just going to discard and throw away. There is a world to come. Praise God. Now, I'm aware that there are people who have not had this revelation in their hearts, and to many unbelievers, this is just pie in the sky by and by, just something you believe because it makes you feel good. Folks, there is a reality. God will make himself known to every willing heart. If you really want to know if this is true, God will show you. If you want him to lay his cards on the table so you can decide, forget it. He never will. But I'll tell you, there's a God who longs to make this so real that it becomes more real than what we see and what we touch. Okay? So that little expression there, the world to come, bear that in mind. All right? It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. What a call, what a creation, what an order in creation we have had. God designed the humankind, created us in his image with a purpose that goes far beyond anything we see or experience here. It is to have a beautiful creation that we rule over. We know what happened. It's all the death and sin entered and has corrupted this and made it something that is going to be discarded like an old garment. But there is a world to come, and God's purpose is happening in the midst of what we see. And God wants us to be in tune with that, to be part of it to start with, but to live our lives more in tune. Everybody know what I'm talking about? I can certainly testify to that during this little period here of weakness. God's been working on me, and he's got a lot to do. Anybody here, you've arrived? No. put your hands back down. See, I fooled you, didn't I? All right. So anyway, here's the purpose. Originally, he created humankind to rule over a creation that he's created for them to enjoy. All right, in putting everything under him, then God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. It's kind of obvious, isn't it? It's a mess. But we do see Jesus, all right, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Boy, there's some rich stuff in that. That's one thing I've wrestled with. You could take a message and build a message on any one of these thoughts and verses, but Lord, you put it out there as you want. But anyway, now here's one of the most amazing passages or verses in Scripture. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what? Wait, what? What do you mean, make him perfect? I thought he was the divine Son of God. He's the one who breathed out galaxies. And he's not perfect? What in the world is that about? That's a pretty key thing right there. That tells us a whole lot about the purpose of this world and the meaning. When we get the significance of that, that even though he was the Son of God, he lived there with the Father. There was no imperfection in him. He was perfectly united with his Father. He wasn't ready for what God had purposed. It wasn't just that we needed to be made ready and a way needed to be opened up for us. He himself wasn't yet perfect. Complete is what the word means. It doesn't mean he was sinful or anything like that. But it means that there was still something that God needed to do in him, so that he would be fully ready.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.